Recording started now.
Thank you. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is the Data and Metrics for Policymaking Working Group on the 31st of March, 2015. On the call today, we have Cheryl Langdon Orr, Sarah Bakke, Graham Bunton, Olivi Kwame, Pam Little, and Anand Orlik. I show apologies from Tony Ornato. From staff, we have Steve Chan, Barry Cobb, Steve Allison, Chris Gift, Natalie Peregrin, and myself, Terry Agnew. And from the Kavi Group, we have Ryan Casey. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and back over to you, Barry.
Great. Thank you, Terry. And I heard a couple of names that I didn't see in the Adobe Connect room. So if it's possible for you to connect, most of this session will be a demonstration on Kavi, and it'll be helpful to be able to view that demonstration through the Adobe Connect room. So in terms of today's agenda, basically there's really only two parts. The first, we're just going to spend about 10 minutes discussing kind of some next steps for the work ahead of us, specifically targeting around the charter.
Votre correspondant vous demande une attente. Patientez, s'il vous plaît.
And so we'll review through a couple of charter dots real quick, then I'll turn it over to Steve Allison that will perform a demonstration of the Kavi tool, and then, of course, we'll exit with some next steps, mostly centering around the Kavi pilot that is before us. So to get started, I sent out in the agenda yesterday a couple of links to some charter documents that have been created for some previous working group efforts. And the idea was just to become familiar with the document and how a charter is structured. And what we're trying to accomplish here over the near term is looking for ways in which to enhance the charter template that will hopefully shift some of the cultural change to begin asking and incorporating metrics into their work. So briefly, just in terms of the overall process, the GNSO Council determines that there's an issue. They assign staff to create an issue report. Staff will deliver that issue report to the council, and the council will deliberate on whether to form a working group or not, and that could be PDP or non-PDP. If it is initiated, then a drafting team is formed to develop that working group's charter. Once that charter is approved by the council, then the working group begins. There is a slight variation to this process that is still being piloted as well. And for certain issue reports, staff is creating a first draft of the charter to accompany that issue report. The council can deliberate on the specifics of that charter document. If they think it's sufficient, it can be approved at the same time as the approval of the working group, or if there's some issues with the substance of that charter, then, of course, a drafting team can be formed. But regardless of the path of the process, the charter is the essential document that kicks up the working group off. So what I'm hoping that we'll accomplish with the working group here is that, you know, we're going to review a series of these deliverables or work products that are created for working groups, the charter being one of them. But the idea is that we can help kind of create some guideposts or some guidance for the creation of these charters in relation to metrics acquisition or at least identifying some metrics that can assist the working group. But at the same time, at this charter drafting stage, you know, because it's not their mission to or their goal to actually deliberate on the issues that the working group will be doing, we can't be prescriptive at the same time or essentially doing the working group's work as you will. So the idea is to try to create some sort of template that will ask a series of questions to the drafting team on how metrics may help address the issues that are being discussed. So one thing that I want to point out in looking at the charter, which is here in the AC room, and I'm going to maintain control for a little bit, then I'll turn it over to you. Section 1 is really kind of just the metadata for a particular issue being addressed in the charter. What you see here before you is the FIC Who Is, which is probably one of our more recent examples, although this was done several years ago. But the template that staff uses today is pretty much structured still in this way. Section 1 is the working group identification or metadata to the group itself. Section 2 is really the core or the meat or heart of what the charter is looking to accomplish. It defines the group's mission and scope. It identifies the issues that the working group are to address. And then down at the bottom, I think around on page 4, then it also outlines objectives and goals and deliverables and timeframes. And what we're targeting here is that perhaps there could be a third section in here, you know, for lack of a formal title, could be listed as, you know, key metrics. And in that section will be some sort of template that we define or that the working group here will help define, and again, to try to change the culture about being much more metrics-focused and data-driven in the issues that are being deliberated. So what are some of the possible questions? You know, first and foremost, we can perhaps create a template that will help the drafting team define what the goals of the group are supposed to be and what metrics that they can measure to make sure that those goals are being met. We could help them identify a series of questions that, when answered, that could provide insight that is necessary to achieve that particular goal. We could also try to come up with some aspects of what metrics that can be collected and analyzed that will help answer those questions. And then I could almost envision some kind of small matrix that could force the drafting team to maybe identify a specific metric, perhaps provide an example and a question that could possibly be answered that relates back to that metric that then relates back up to the issue that's being that will be deliberated on. The other thing that I'll mention here, and we've talked about this several times, but one of the critical aspects at the closure of a working group after they've defined their recommendations and they're ready to send those up to the council is kind of that last recommendation that we hope to change, which is to have the working group eventually define what metrics will be required to measure the success and outcome once those recommendations, should they be approved by the council and ICANN or the board and then implemented by ICANN, what measures of success will be required to make sure that that recommendation was implemented in the intent of the way the policy was defined. So what I could see as it relates back into the charter is either in this deliverables and timeframes section or perhaps in a previous section that that kind of standard language always be attached in terms of defining the scope and the output of that future working group. So in general, that's just kind of the outline. In terms of next steps, what I'm going to do is create a blank template of a charter document. So it'll be the same form that you see in the Adobe Connect room, but it'll be stripped out for all of those for all of the content that's specifically related to FIC Who Is. So it'll be just kind of a starter template. A lot of what Section 3, such as membership criteria, group formation, all of that content will be in there. That's kind of the standard package as these relate back to the working group guidelines and the rules that govern and dictate a particular working group and their roles and functions. But again, our focus is going to be more on the second. But with this template that I'll send out, I'm going to go ahead and create a third section and populate it with some introductory type questions, and then we'll send this out to the working group for feedback over the list. We'll make sure that track changes are enabled, members are welcome to comment how they see fit, add additional questions that perhaps could be asked at this stage. And then when we meet again in a couple of weeks, then we'll roll our sleeves up and try to finalize what this section is. Hopefully we can try to close out on the charter document, and then we can either move over to the issue report or to the final report and the recommendations section in there as well. So that's really all I have for this topic. Are there any questions before we move on to the next item in the agenda? Seeing and hearing none. So the next part is basically the COBE demonstration. So just a couple of quick comments in this regard. At our last call, as well as a quick note on the agenda that I sent out yesterday, during Singapore, Fadi, I can't remember which session it was that he mentioned it. Perhaps it was the opening session. If not, it was one of the other satellite sessions. But he had talked about a larger initiative about outreach and trying to grow participation within ICANN, and especially around policy development. As many of our veteran members know, we have a very short or small bench from which we have to choose from for all the issues that are being addressed. And it's been an ongoing topic of discussion of how do we attract new persons into the community to help us address these issues, not only for their respective experiences, but of course the other component is to share the workload. As many know, there's a lot going on and a lot of work going around. So the idea is to help grow that. So this particular pilot and the project that we're working on here is one piece that fits into this larger initiative. And you know, one of the kind of issues that exist out there is when a person is interested in signing up for a working group or a cross-community working group, et cetera, it's a very manual process today. Steve will talk more about this in a little bit. But the idea with this particular project is to try to make that easier. But another important component to this is how we measure success of participation. And that mostly circles around being able to measure participation, but as well as another important aspect is measuring the diversity of the participants. As many know, in the developing countries, participation is more difficult and a little bit harder, but we do want to start to measure where these gaps exist, and part of doing that is acquiring that data on the back end. And unfortunately, today, in terms of how working groups are managed, the systems or processes behind the scenes are a little disparate, and one of the objectives behind this project is to try to consolidate a lot of that and centralize it so one that it's not only easier to manage but certainly a lot easier to measure, which directly tie into a separate initiative that Fadi has mentioned several times, and that's about outlining the organization's key performance indicators as well. So just a couple more statements. So this particular pilot that Steve will jump into is kind of loosely in two areas, for lack of a better word, kind of a phase one and then a phase two. Phase one kind of is more from a back-end management perspective, and this is to really help out the secretariat team. So, and it focuses around the aspects of what it's like to have to sign up members for a working group, the calendaring and scheduling, statements of interest, attendance, et cetera. But more specifically for this phase one, we're going to focus a little more on the calendaring and scheduling and attendance taken, attendance of working groups. And then phase two kind of gets more onto the side of the document management and collaboration around documents that are used in working groups. and that probably won't be so much formalized in the terms of this particular pilot, but we don't want to preclude from working group members on helping us out with this pilot to play around with the tools that COBBI offers. And in fact, as we get closer to documenting our initial report, we may try to work with that document within the COBBI as well, and so we can get some lessons learned around that space. So with that, I'm going to turn it over to Steve, and he's going to take you through the demo and wrap things up for us. And thank you, everyone, for participating.
Thanks, Barry, for the introduction to the topic. This is Steve Allison for the record. So Barry hit on a couple of really good points, and this slide actually maybe reiterates it at a more granular level as we look at the specific tool sets that I'm going to show you today. So I'll just briefly, you know, walk through some of the problem areas that I think will resonate both with the internal staff as well as with the working group, and then we'll get right into the demonstration. And then there should be time at the end of all of this for questions. So if you want to either put them in the chat or, you know, just jot them down, we'll hit all of them at the end. And we can, you know, easily go back and take a look at some stuff if there's questions for the actual demonstration. So the two working group problem areas that we have, one is around the formation that Barry is suggesting, going through a lot of the processes to get people into the appropriate working groups, to have visibility into what groups are available to them, doing rostering and attendance and setting up and scheduling. And so we think that these are areas where formalizing a more rigid, automated tool set can increase capacity to our staff to support a larger population of working groups, and also free up a lot of their time to you know, focus in on some of the other areas that are maybe not as focused on. And then separately, and which is, I think probably resonates more with the working group, is around the actual operation of the working group. And so these are increasing the efficiencies and the transparency of the, you know, work taking place within the working group. So we can imagine, you know, especially from a newcomer perspective, it being quite time consuming to reorient themselves from one group to another, especially with a lot of the activity taking place within mailing lists. It can be difficult sometimes to dig into some of those threads to find documents that are, you know, being discussed in the specific changes from one version to the next. And then in addition, I think, you know, from both a working group perspective and from a staff perspective, you know, sometimes we'll see in these threaded conversations plus ones or disputes to issues, and we want to really make sure that there's transparency into, you know, building a general consensus on issues that are being raised so that, you know, solutions can be driven from the working group, you know, effectively to the, from one version of the document to the next. So these are some of the problem areas. There's definitely other ones that we can explore in the future, but I think these are some of the issues that we'll start to be able to experiment with from tool to tool to see how we can improve some of these efficiencies and transparencies with working groups. Okay, so part of the vision, and this first part of the vision isn't what we're going to explore in the pilot, but I wanted to provide some of this vision so that you can see where we're coming from and where we think we're going to go with some future tool sets. And that vision is that at some point we'd like to see on ICANN.org or some other resource an index of all of the different working groups that exist, not only for GNSO or GAC, but at large, potentially, an area where users of the community can go to find the groups that they want to participate in. And then to have those groups integrated with their, you know, some standard profile, whether it's an ICANN.org profile or some other profile, so that they don't have to go through and manage multiple user accounts. They can very quickly find the group that they're interested in and drive into the space where they're doing work so that they can auto be added to the group, if you will, be signed up to the mailing list automatically and really streamline that process of getting people over that barrier to entry. And tied to that also could include things like having a state, a library of statements of interest that people could apply to the groups that they were, joining. And so that's part of the vision, is that at some point, once we find a workspace management tool that can really manage the operations of the working group, we want to tie it into something that will really make a seamless experience so that people don't have to relearn and click around and go from one SOAC to another and relearn a whole new process. They can really reuse it across the board. For today, what we'd like to do is talk about the specific areas of workspace. And we're going to use Covey Workspace as our pilot, although, in the future, who knows what tool will meet our needs. But I think going through this pilot with Covey will really shed some light on what our needs are in the future for a production-level environment. So Covey is a corporation that's been doing this for about 18 years, building collaboration tools, and they have a lot of experience in the standard bodies and consortiums. And so they bring a lot of insights into this process for us as we try to improve not only our working group efficiencies and our measurements, but the transparency to the whole process so that we can go back easily and recall why we made certain decisions, what, who said what, under what, statement of interest, and we'll have a lot more visibility into how decisions get made, and we'll be able to start, I think, driving greater participation across the community. So what we'll look at today is their homepage. When we log into a workspace, we'll start seeing how, if we're part of multiple working groups, how that content aggregates across the site on the homepage. We'll start looking at what the roster kind of looks like from within a working group and, what are some of the benefits we get from having, automated synchronous roster of all the members of that group. We'll take a look at the calendaring functionality within Covey. We'll show what it looks like to create an invite and what that invite looks like in Outlook and, potentially, what that would look like in other platforms as well. And then we'll really just briefly touch on their document library capabilities and the mailing list and, commenting features within Covey so that you guys have enough tools in the toolbox to play around with it during the pilot. So before I hop into it, if there's any specific questions that you guys want to hit on for just the vision and or just the topics that we're about to run through, now would be a good time, or you can capture them and wait till the end. Okay, without further ado. So I'm going to make my screen a little bit bigger so you can see it. Can everyone see my screen?
Yes.
Perfect. Okay. So this is the homepage that a user could expect to see if they were logged into Covey. There's a couple nice things about the homepage that I wanted to go over, and then I'll dive into DMPM working group space that we've created and guide us around that. So from the homepage, one of the important things that I want to cover is this little widget down here in the bottom left. This, in general, this page, what it does is aggregate content across all of the groups that you're a part of. And so when someone logs into Covey, they'll start being able to see an agenda almost of 24 hours out, 7 days out, 30 days out, whatever the frequency is of items that are coming up. And that could be, teleconferences that are coming up and when, and give them links to quickly hop into them and or RSVP to those events. Action items, so if within working groups, if we start, acting more formally in assigning certain milestones or objectives of people to accomplish, we could start seeing those things pop up. Some of the other activities that take place within the groups will open the seed here and give people visibility to make sure they're not missing things that are up and coming. In addition to that, we have, those that use different social media tools are probably familiar with this, but things that are like pending items that are assigned to you or that are, that you're invited to, that you're supposed to attend, like meeting invites and things like that, pop up in this little menu item as they become relevant. So it's a really good way of knowing if there's something pending that's urgent or, due immediately. So we have some tools that are given to us on the homepage of the workspace that guide us throughout the site. In addition to that, there's one other really important element on this page, which is this go-to menu. And the go-to menu gives you a bunch of different filters of content that are within the site, ways for you to quickly filter all of the different documents across all of the different working groups that you may have access to, and really powerful filtering tools from within that to start doing research on things. So, community members that are trying to recall why certain decisions were made or different versions of documents or the comments on those documents can use some of these tools to filter the content within all of the different work groups. And in addition to that, and probably most importantly, is this My Group section, which will really populate this area right here with all the groups that you're a member of. So you can see I happen to be a member of one called the Data and Metrics for Policy Making. And so this is just a quick navigational tool for people to hop into the actual workspaces for each of those groups. I think that's it for this page. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to hop into that group, and then I'm going to give you guys an overview of what it looks like to actually, work within a working space. So if I click Data Metrics and Policy Making, I am logged in as an admin, so there's actually some additional items in this little menu here that a normal user wouldn't see, but by and large, this page looks as if it would look if I were a regular member of the working group. And so I'm going to break down the content within this working group for you guys. So the first thing I wanted to cover, if I scroll down just a bit, is the group notes, as well as just some of the other widgets within this group. This is really the heart of the workspace. I have a group notes section that a secretariat or like a group chair could populate that would give background information. So very similar to how our current data metrics and policy working group Confluence page looks, you could populate a background in this section. And there's actually a background that you can make the background public or not public so that other members of, ICANN, broadly the community would be able to see from an external perspective and determine if that's something they want to be able to join or not. And in addition to that, there's all these widgets to kind of aggregate the type of content that's taking place within the workspace. So there's documents that are being created or updated that people can quickly hop to. You can see there's all kinds of activity taking place within the space already. We're making some, dummy action items. There's calendar events that have been created and or modified and sent back out to the working group. We've been, testing different functionality like balloting or, consensus building and really just like document upload. So you get a lot of feeds that within this group to keep tabs on everything that's happening. And it's, very organized so that you can really key in on the areas that you want. In addition to that, up here in the top, two kind of menu bars, one specifically for the major sections of the working group, as well as a couple menus over here to do some key functions within the working group. So one of them being post a message. So this is a link that if you happen to be logged in and you wanted, you could, if you're a member of the group, send, and you can see down here at the very bottom, you could send mail to the actual working group's mailing list. Or you could actually contact just the chair. The chair actually, the working groups auto-create a mailing address for the chair as well. In addition to that, there's a charter. So if I were to click on the charter, this should look really similar to what you guys just saw on Barry's screen share. You could easily upload your charter or versions of that charter as they're defined and pull those up easily. So, you know, basic document management capabilities for that. And then finally, there's RSS feeds. I won't dive too far into RSS feeds, but the individuals that want to start subscribing to different elements of the site so that they could keep a closer tab on them and some other external tool, whether it's Outlook or some other RSS reader, there's an ability to do that. And so when we start thinking of transparency purposes, that can be a really powerful way for individuals that want to have some level of observer access to the group to, you know, subscribe to the elements that they think are most appropriate to them. So in addition to that, we have these menu items at the top, and I'm just going to really briefly, they're probably quite intuitive to you already, but I'm going to briefly talk about them, and then we're going to actually dive into a couple of the key ones. So we've got the homepage, which is what we're looking at. We have the documents section. This is really a library, and I'm going to dive into this a little later. This is a library for us to attach reference material, start uploading the working drafts that we have for documents or other artifacts that we may have commenting, you know, open comment periods on within the working group. It could be an area in the future for us to actually collaborate on and hash out ideas. So there's a piece of functionality that we're looking at with Covey where people can live edit right from within the documents section, similar to how they do with Google Docs. And so it's really just very similar to the basic document librarying capabilities we'd see with other collaboration tools as well. But the powerful thing that we'll see with that is the ability to filter and search for and find documents that were relevant at different times for us. So for transparency purposes, it's quite powerful. We'll talk about the roster as well. So the ability for our secretariat team to build out a quality roster of all the members of the group tied to their, you know, user account so that we always are using the appropriate contact information for those individuals. And so we'll start seeing, you know, some of the benefits of that. Calendaring functionality, which you guys are probably quite familiar with, but really focuses in on our ability to create invites and or show milestones that we want to hit within the working group so that everybody has visibility into what things are upcoming, how to join those meetings. How to join those meetings, you know, getting the call-in details appropriately and being able to get updates to those invites and whatnot. And then balance and action items that we probably won't dive into in this meeting, but obviously just things that you guys are welcome to explore a little bit on your time during the pilot. The balancing capability has two pieces of functionality. One is like a very formal ballot that, you know, we may or may not find value in, but a formal ballot where we can gauge consensus on specific items of a document. And then even less formal ballots, for example, you know, querying the working group on when is an appropriate time for us to host our meetings. So there's all kinds of different scenarios that we may derive from using a balloting capability. And then finally is action items. So action items is, you know, our ability to actually tie an individual to an objective that we want to accomplish and then really have the visibility to see, you know, that it's closed out appropriately and have that traceability along the way. So those are some of the – and it, actually, it looks like I missed comments. So and the final one would be comments is our ability to start dialogue on and create – really what it comes down to is create issues with that we can discuss with the other members of the working group and arrive at a solution that we want applied to one version of the document or the next. And so the power behind something like comments is in, you know, building out the appropriate threaded conversations from one issue to the next so that when we go from one version of a document to the next, we go, okay, well, these are our five issues that we wanted to resolve, and here's the solutions that we identified to them. And then, look, the next version of that document actually has that. So it gives a lot of powerful traceability for everybody to go through that process. So this, I think that's what we'll see when I click through some of these. So to begin, I will click on the roster section. So, again, I'm logged in as an admin, so it does look a little bit different than a normal user would see, but it's quite similar in that, you know, a member of the working group can log in and see the other users of the working group, the other members. And so, for example, you could click, I could click on Barry, and I would get the contact details that were provided. And again, if I go back to that previous vision that I discussed earlier, you know, part of that vision is that we would pull that data from whatever that universal profile is so that Barry doesn't have to constantly be updating yet another, you know, profile in the user account. So they could just store it in one place, and then it would just propagate to the appropriate location. So we have his contact information. We can actually see some of the activity that he has within the working group, the comments, the documents that he may have uploaded, and really just, like, some of the contact details to actually reach out to them. So that, I think, streamlines a lot of that process. And in addition to that, because now we have an appropriate roster, we'll start seeing how this ties into being able to do attendance very easily and start tracking on the attendance as well. The second section here is calendaring. So it should look quite similar to other calendars that you guys are used to. As calendar events are created or action items are created or ballots are proposed, those types of items will start showing on this calendar view. And in addition, there's also like more like an agenda sort of view that can build up as well so that people can just see it, like a table of all the items. Another thing about calendars, if we were to click on an actual item just as an example, you can see that we have a number of pieces of metadata that we can start collecting so that we can push those out. And so all of these calendar events are tied into the standard iCal formats. And Covey's actually done a pretty good job supporting this across a lot of different clients. So for those in the working group that have, you know, Outlook, fantastic. Explore using the calendar invites with Outlook. And for those in Google, you know, you're welcome to do that. So whatever those clients are, start exploring with them, the ones you're most comfortable with, and then, you know, start thinking about that, your insights on that so that we can collect that feedback. But I think that we'll start seeing, you know, a pretty stable environment for us to start sending invites out. Looks like we have one hand raised. Cheryl?
Hi, thanks for that, Cheryl Langdonor, and I hope you can hear me. The calendar issue is one that I was asking about when we were hearing that we'd be having this presentation. And as Natalie or anyone else who's ever looked in my calendar knows, they'll understand why. You gave me pause and I put my hand up when you said, you know, if you use Chrome or Google, you're welcome. Are you saying that this is not robust in terms of its interoperability with the Google system?
No, I'm saying the opposite. So what I'm saying is that
okay.
So So the way it'll work is, you know, as people are sent the invites, whatever their native client application is can also be used to manage their day-to-day activities. The site itself is fine for, like, you know, getting an aggregate of everything that's happening within the, you know, the website and across multiple working groups. But most people are working out of their inbox or out of their Google Calendar or whatever the client may be. And what I'm saying is I'm encouraging you to test this with those tools and let us know how effective it is. And I think that we'll find that it works quite well.
Okay, because therefore it can come, I can take it as a feed. So if the DPM calendar is up and running, I can just take a feed from this calendar and I don't have to go in and pull. That will, you know, coexist with all the other calendars I get feeds from?
Yeah, sort of. It's, as opposed to pulling it down or requesting a feed, because you're a member within the roster and because you're on that mailing list, it would send it out. And as an example, if, let's say you were using Outlook, it would send it to your Outlook as a normal Outlook invite.
Sorry, that's me having apoplexy at the possibility of using a Microsoft product, but go on.
Well, whichever product you choose. But yeah, that's one of the key, that's definitely one area we want to focus on, though, is how effective actually is it? And we think it's effective, so. Hit it hard.
I'll give that a darn good testing for you. Don't you worry about that. Natalie, you and I get to play. Thank you.
There's also a couple, just at the top here, a couple ways to filter the data out that you're welcome to kind of play with this and see, you know, how effective even within the web interface is it at indicating what's up and coming to you or, you know, things that are cumbersome. By all means, start thinking about and critiquing, you know, how these things play into your day-to-day activities so that we can, you know, extract that from you. In addition to that, I'll hop over to the documents section. So just briefly with documents, this should be similar to how you would experience, you know, any other document management tool. We have a list of folders on the left that can be predefined. And, you know, what I'd like to encourage as we start going through this pilot is start thinking about, you know, what are a good set of folder structures and what are the things that, about the document library that really enable us further than we had been prior to having a tool like this? Does it, you know, give us better visibility into the documents that we're discussing in our mailing list, in our discussion thread? Is it easier to find these things or is it more cumbersome? I really want us to start exploring what it is about, you know, these areas that are more effective for us. And so documents can be one of these areas. So documents can have multiple different revisions. So we don't have to keep uploading a document and appending a revision number to it or, you know, the initials of who edited it last. We can just re-upload the document, assign it to the same location, and then it just starts tracking a lot of these revisions on our behalf. And so as we have discussions on these, you know, versions of the document, we'll start to be able to track, you know, what issues we came up with and when and what, you know, revisions we actually came to a resolution to. So the documents area is one area where you guys are, you know, welcome to explore. We've put in some training documents within the training documents folder. So, you know, if you feel like you're still a little lost going through Covey, by all means, click yourself to the training documents, skim through those. And then if not, obviously, reach out to us. And so that's the majority of the functionality I wanted to cover. There's a couple other areas within commenting, action items, and ballots that, you know, you're welcome to explore through. Or if, you know, you have specific questions, we can do it during this session. But I just wanted to give you enough of a taste of the functionality in here to, you know, to give you the confidence to explore through it. You're not going to break it in any way. So I just want you guys to get to that point where you're comfortable clicking around in there. Without going so far into the weeds that we forgot while we're here. if I may, for a moment I'll stop sharing. I'll show one more slide, and then we can hop right back in to Covey if there's specific scenarios or questions that we want to go through. And then just for reference, we also have Ryan Casey on the phone from Covey. If there's like a really technical question that we want to throw over at him, he's always excited to have him. How are we doing on time? We got 12 minutes. Okay. So just to kind of close up, I'm going to go over the next steps that we think we should do for the pilot. And then we can kind of open up the floor if there's other additional questions as well. So for next steps, we expect to see user accounts and IDs created for the working group this week. You'll start seeing the invite message that comes from the Covey platform, and it will have all of your credentials there, and you just click on that link. I think they're good for 72 hours, so I wouldn't wait 2 weeks. If you click on that link, you set up your password, and you should already be in the working group. So you should be able to start clicking around as soon as you get that link. For upcoming DMPM meeting, for the next call is scheduled for the 14th. What we expect to do is that we'll send duplicate calendar invites, one from the secretariat as you're already used to, same process as normal, and then also one from Covey just to test the functionality. So you guys can click on it, and you won't be afraid that you're going to, you know, not get, you know, the details that you need, you know, if something were to go wrong. You'll already have your original invite. Following that, if we're comfortable or there's no hiccups going through that, the following meetings we'll directly send them from Covey as iCal attachments just to make sure that people are still getting the actual invite from Covey. And then all the preceding meetings afterwards, we'll try to use the native Covey functionality for invites with the iCal as a backup so that, you know, just in case something goes wrong, people have them. So we'll kind of phase our way through that just to make sure that the core functions of the working group, you know, aren't diminished in any way. In the meantime, you're welcome to log into the DMPM working group. You're going to have access to it. You're welcome to click around. You can modify your profile, do whatever you guys want to start exploring some of that functionality. We're going to be using Covey for, like, attendance tracking and a lot of the secretariat functions as well. But you guys are obviously welcome to start playing with and thinking about some of those phase two elements around the operation of Covey and your day-to-day processes. And then I just wanted to kind of set the expectation that sometime, like the second week of May, expect me to reach out to the working group members. I'll probably do them one-on-one at first, either like a short call or just like a short email with each of the members to start collecting some insights on their experience using the tool. And that way we can start collecting some of that qualitative feedback that will drive our future requirements, whether it's with Covey as a production system or some other tool or, you know, some, you know, hybrid of a bunch of different things, who knows. But I really want you guys to feel like the experience that you have can influence, you know, how we shape this and present this to the rest of the community so that we kind of get the holistic perspective going forward. And then as you're going through the pilot, if you have questions, you could always send them straight to Covey. They have a help desk at covey.com email address, and they will respond to you. They're really quick on that. So if there's issues that you're having or something not working right, you could either go straight to them or you can send an email to one of the three of us, and we'll see if we can help resolve it and or go to Covey and kind of facilitate that process. So you guys are, you know, welcome to reach out to any of the four of us. So that is that. I will open up the floor to questions and or show some other scenarios if you're interested. Looks like Mohammed.
Yes. Thank you very much. Do you hear me? Hello? Okay,
yes,
I have a question regarding one issue that might be a sensitive one.
Okay.
Do you have any issue regarding the storage of all the data related to the organization like ICANN in an environment where we don't have, what guarantee do we have regarding the confidentiality of the platform for an institution like ICANN that is starting to be more and more on a stage of becoming more and more international? What can happen in all this data will be stored in an environment where we don't have all the guarantee that confidentiality will be guaranteed within the system? So that's just a question I raised regarding the fact that all the data will be stored in the in a virtual space that's going to be managed fully by the admin people from KV.
Mm-hmm. Barry, your hands up.
Mm-hmm. Hi, this is Barry. Thank you for the question, Mohammed. It's definitely a concern. Certainly the security platform for Kavi, and Ryan can speak to that more, but it is a robust security model where member data will be secured. The other component, I at least for this pilot and even if we were to go to production in the future with this kind of platform or whether it be through ICANN.org, the community data that will be requested is no much more than what is requested of you today. So essentially it's your name, the region, and your email address. Outside of that, I don't think we foresee collecting any additional data along those lines. And I see Ryan's hand is raised, and he can talk about maybe some more of the security aspect.
Yeah, can everyone hear us okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, hi, this is Mark at Covey. Security, privacy, confidentiality are extremely at Covey. And we serve over 100 organizations with similar kinds of confidentiality and privacy requirements as ICANN, including the U.S. government at NIST and many other standards orgs. So I'm quite confident we'll be able to meet your requirements, but we've been talking with IT in some detail, and they've been looking at the infrastructure that we support in our private cloud, and we'll get into those in as much detail as required to make you guys feel comfortable.
Thanks, Mark. So definitely as we as we go through the pilot and we discover the functional level requirements that we have, at some point, if we were to start considering Covey for a production level system and the community was already comfortable functionality wise with what it does provide, it's a great topic that should be broached and really facilitated with the IT team leading that part of the conversation with us.
And so this is Barry, and I guess just to pick up kind of where Steve left off with next steps. As he mentioned, IDs will be distributed later in the week. And as he also mentioned, everybody's welcome to play around, add different documents, or play with the different features. As it was discussed, again, kind of phase one is really more the calendaring and scheduling component. And during this pilot, one of the important requirements is that, we basically need to still maintain our current method for how we perform our work within the working group, so such as posting to the mail list, upload of documents to the wiki, and those kinds of aspects, so that we maintain the openness and transparency of what the working group is doing. Staff will make sure that those components are maintained in parallel to this pilot. And the only other thing that I'll close with, and it kind of relates back to the calendaring and scheduling that Steve touched on. So Again, that first next week, I believe, when we announce the call for the 14th, I do expect kind of some duplication as it relates to the calendaring and scheduling, because we have several, you know, observers to the group that don't necessarily participate on the calls, and we expect that not everybody that is assigned to this group will complete their ID registration in Picavi. So we want to make sure that the same announcements of our working group meetings are made available to everyone. So that first, this first run, there will be duplications in regards to the calendaring and scheduling. And then as the weeks progress, as was mentioned, then we'll start to move over into Picavi in that regard. But then we'll step up some of the communication through the email list about which, you know, the meeting logistics and those kinds of things. So I guess in short, it might be a little bit messy as we start to take off the runway with the pilot, but you know, we'll make it better as we mature and advance through the pilot. Okay. Thank you very much, Steve, and thank you, Ryan, for joining. I'm not seeing any or hearing any other questions in regards to the pilot. Again, we do appreciate the community with your assistance on this, and hopefully we'll get some production or productive value out of the pilot so that we can take this to the next level. And so with that, I think I'll close out the demonstration part. And the last part of our agenda, again, just to recap, you'll expect to see something later this week in regards to the template for the charter, and I look forward to the group's feedback and input into enhancing the metrics component, as well as, again, you know, later this week you'll see your Covey IDs, and then our next meeting is scheduled at the same time, 20 UTC, on the 14th of April. And so you'll see calendar invites on that aspect next week. So I'll open it up once for any closing comments or questions. Otherwise, we can maybe bring this call to a close. All right, great. Well, thank you, everyone. And we'll see you on the list and see you on the call in 2 weeks. Take care. And stop the recording, please.